This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to
Tamarindo Podcast.
Un podcast para ti.
Y para mí.
Tamarindo Podcast is your hosts,
Luis Octavio
and Brenda Gonzalez. And we are your socially conscious talk show with a Latino vibe. We are amigos talking politics, food, music, and life. Welcome!
Claro que sí.
We have an amazing interview to share with you today. We have Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela hosted by Mala Muñoz and Diosa Femme, two self-identified locas, also known as Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit. These mujeres join us to talk about their work and also rape culture, what it means and how we can help end it. You got to make sure you check out their amazing podcast. We have just a couple more episodes with Luis. Starting in the fall, you can keep up with Luis on Nos Vemos en el Swap Meet, a Spanish language podcast featuring the stories of those who shop, sell, and visit the swap meet. We're excited to have a series of guest co-hosts on brand new episodes of Tamarindo. Make sure you get in touch with us to pitch your story ideas, topics, guest ideas, or hey, maybe you could be one of our guest hosts. Get in touch with us at tamarindopodcast@gmail.com. We hope you enjoyed this amazing interview.
All right, Brenda, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. So we have with us in our studio, in the flesh, finally.
I know. No longer just Instagram.
I know. Locatora Radio.
Locatora Radio.
Yes. They are a radiophonic novela hosted by Mala Muñoz and Diosa Femme. Bienvenidas.
Yes, welcome.
Hello. Besitos, besitos.
Yes, thank you. Damn,
it's so weird. It's so weird to hear them and then see them do this.
Yes, like, very cool.
It's happening.
I know, like it's happening, right? Yeah. It's happening right now. So tell us a little bit about your names, because I am so intrigued. Yeah. First of all, they sound so fucking badass.
Yes, thank you.
Mala Muñoz, Diosa Femme, like, ¿quién empieza? Who can tell us?
Yes, you go first.
Okay, well, I liken myself to, like, I really like girl groups and, like, girl bands, and I think there's a lot of, like, cool shit there. And so I liken myself as kind of like, if you had, like, a Josie and the Pussycat scenario, but it was, like, more of a Spice Girls, but they had Latina members, like, that's how I see myself.
Yeah.
But, like, kind of like as a comic book superhero.
Very cool.
In that sort of a way, you know, but who, like, goes out and, like, gets revenge against, like, abusers.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, sexual predators.
Perfect.
That's, like, where Mala comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Well, for me, Diosa, I mean, I think it was just my Instagram name, actually. Like, I went through, like, my transitions of Instagram names and going back and forth, and finally this one stuck, and then everyone started calling me Diosa. So it just worked out, and then Femme is, you know, what I embody, how I identify. I feel like it enwraps, like, my queerness, my feminism, my femme identity, being a mujer, being a Latina. So, yeah, for me, it's, like, my persona.
That's so cool. People just started calling me Diosa.
I know. Right?
It's tough for some reason.
You know, I'm just Diosa fam. Well, speaking of Diosa fam, like, let's talk a little bit about these shoes because we're going to take pictures.
Let's do it.
But damn, she's wearing these shoes that are like giving me life.
Yes, they're so they're like a clear heel. They're gold. They're dazzling. They're beautiful. They're high, which is like a, what, 4-inch heel maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, beautiful, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Thank you.
And what is this? What is femme for folks that do not know?
Yeah, so femme is a very intentional presentation, political identity of my femininity. So it's something very intentional, very on purpose, very radical for me. And yeah, it's my act of resistance daily, being super high femme.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a big part of our content podcast. And the podcast and like the spirit of the podcast.
Extra.
Basically.
Super extra.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, tell us about Locatora Radio and the name behind that and what is it to folks that haven't heard it?
Absolutely. So we began Locatora Radio. Well, the vision began last summer and we released our first capítulo in November of 2016. So and it's only been a few months.
It's only been a few months. We just put out our capítulo 12, which is all about our space, espacios y palacios, right? Our homes, our sanctuaries. And it was actually Diosa's idea to start the podcast. So she like texted me and she was all, let's do a podcast. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we like brainstormed. We tried to like come up with like an original name. We wanted to like create a word.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to create a word. We didn't want to use like pre-existing phrases. And so we were just kind of like going through like a Google word search, just looking at words and words and words that sound like other words that rhyme with other words that. And so then we came upon, well, a locutor, right, is a radio host. And what we talk about in our first capítulo, Loca Epistemologies, is like in a Latinx context, we can talk about how loca is often used as like a way to degrade like survivors in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. When women are like talking about, yes, that loca, don't believe her, she's crazy. Yeah. So that's also a big piece of our content is survivor-centric material.
And also like queer and trans people of color, you know, they're like the locos, the locas in your family, right? So being able to reclaim that narrative and give it more life, desarrollarlo really into how we see a loca or a loca ex loco, however you want to say it, you know?
So let's talk about radiophonic novela, because that sounds so like that could be the title of a movie of like a thrill, like tell me about radiophonic novela.
Yeah, you know, I think when we first were brainstorming, we were really playing with the ideas of novelas in our families. So it really being a community space in a way where your primas, your abuelas, your tías, everyone gets together, sits together and they watch their novela, right? So it's like family time, it's community time. But what we see in the novelas is that they're very white, like white Latinos.
Super, super white.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we wanted to change that. And we also, I mean, you have a really good description of like our...
Oh, right. Yeah, so it's a radiophonic novela because, you know, like Diosa said, our listeners have told us, like have affirmed to us that they like look forward to it. They talk to their primas and their relatives about it. And so it's like reclaiming that community space, but having a specific focus on this is Brown Girl Hour.
Yeah.
Right. And we are celebrating and embracing Afro-Latinidad and queerness and Latinidad and those things that are definitely not seen in that more mainstream media that our families, you know, consume and engage with and participate in. So we wanted to make affirming content. And wait, what was it?
That's great. Also, I think without our listeners, like they don't really know, but they're following our lives in many ways.
Oh, yes.
I think you can see the narrative arc, especially in this last capítulo, capítulo 12, because Mala just went to Mexico City. She was in the EFE. She went to La Casa Azul, was super inspired.
Oh, how cool.
Came back and started doing some like DIY.
A lot.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my God. Let me tell you about it. But that's the thing, because it's still a novela, even though we don't necessarily have a script, but it's following like the way that we as women of color interact with the world and how the world responds to us. And that creates the narrative arc. That creates the narrative and the story, right? And our tagline, we call ourselves Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit.
So cool. We have a bunch of names.
We it's just like have subtitle Latino, after subtitle.
Yeah, like Latino kids have a million names, right? That's our...
Right? We have a million names.
That's Locatora. We have a million names.
We didn't even think about that until now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Inicia.
It's evolving the way, the way you're growing and interacting.
Yeah.
You're letting us take a glimpse at it. So that's phenomenal. And in a way that so many other women can identify with and haven't found a place to identify. Mm-hmm. So that's great. We think it's phenomenal. And
thank
that's
you.
Why we're here. But let's learn a little bit about each of you.
Okay.
So let's talk start with Diosa Femme.
Sure.
So I say that you're an organizer and a model, and we've been loving all of your Instagram.
Oh, my gosh. No, I
bring in the glam all the time.
That's so funny.
Your background.
Yeah, so I'm Peruana Mexicana. Mm-hmm. I live in Southeast L.A. I'm a community organizer. I don't actually consider myself a model, but I have been asked to take photos for, like, Mi Vida Boutique in Highland Park, is where... Yeah, and I know you've been there, Luis, and that's where we actually started recording Locatora.
Mm-hmm.
We love Noelle. She's amazing. The whole shop is amazing. So I model with them from time to time. And what else do I do? I love to dance. I love to brunch. I love to be outdoors. Right? Not outdoors like being active outdoors, but like sitting outdoors, having a drink outdoors.
Being seen.
Like being
outdoors.
Seen.
Active. That's being active in my book.
Right?
Being seen.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I know that you just did a presentation or a talk with, what's his name? Fabian? No.
Sebastian.
Sebastian, yes.
Sebastian from Café con Chisme.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I did. I did a talk at one of his classes. I think it's Body, Power, and Culture, something in Chicano Studies at UC Santa Barbara. So he asked me, because they're talking about body and politics, so he asked me to do a presentation actually on women and femmes of color and what it means, why is femme political, why is like hood feminism important. Mm-hmm. So I talked about those things, and I also had the students, I created like a 1 month self-care plan, so things that they could do mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and having them do something new each week. And it can be really simple. I always use the example of like putting your laundry away. Because we can do our laundry, right? And that feels really good. But then we leave it all out on our bed, on our table.
My current living room situation.
Right? So something like a really small task can be like your very proactive self-care. It doesn't have to be very glamorous, like getting your nails done, which is fabulous. I love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be something really simple that in the long run will make you feel good.
Mm, I like that.
That's awesome. Because I would have never thought of like putting away my laundry as a self-care. Self-care would be, to me would have been like Fernando putting it away.
That too.
I love that. That too. Let's do that.
Okay, so let's learn a little bit more about you, Mala. Tell us about what you do, helping and counseling folks that are victims of violence and sexual violence.
Yeah, so I'm Mala, and I work at a rape crisis center. It's a dual rape crisis center and domestic violence agency, and we work throughout LA City, LA County. So we're in downtown LA and in the Pasadena area. And so I work with survivors of sexual assault, domestic violence, child sexual abuse, and human sex trafficking, stalking. There's a lot of
possible
traumas. We work with trauma survivors, you know. And then when I'm not working, I write. I've written a few articles for Vibe magazine. They have an online like Latinx platform called Vibe Viva.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like last year. I put out a couple articles. One was actually about Jessica Salgado.
We like her on the Instagram.
She's fab. So when we were first getting to know each other, she like was really kind to like let me come to the Poetry Lounge, see her perform, and talk to her and interview her. And she loves to talk, and she loves to like engage in conversation. So it was like so fun. I wrote about this Mexican Korean artist named Monica Kim Garza, and what she does is she paints very colorful, like soft, like nudes and semi nudes of like fat and big bodied and very curvy women of color, like on the beach, mm-hmm. like eating tacos, having a beer, on your phone, in your bed, like the way that we exist, right. you know? Yeah. And it's super cute. I did an article about Sand One, who she's the muralist, the artist that paints the dolls with the big, big eyes and the big eyelashes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Oh, yes, all over LA. You see yes. all over LA, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah, and then I'm a contributor, a blogger for the Huffington Post blog.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, wow. This is amazing. This is why it's so great you guys are putting, you gals are putting your voices out there because it's you contribute so much to the world. And I know that when we talked about having you on here, we wanted to definitely talk about who you are and the, this amazing project. We love podcasts, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I, you all were very bright in saying, well, what other topic do you want to talk about? Like we need to talk about some. so in the topic that I think we haven't had a chance to address and that I think you both have contribute a lot to this thinking, I've seen some of your written work, Mala, is this idea of rape culture.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What is it? And how can we both use our collective platforms and reach to help combat what rape culture is? So why don't you tell us a little bit about what is it for folks that may not know the concept?
Yeah. Do you want to?
I can start. Yeah. We can build. Yeah. So rape culture is exactly what it sounds like. It is its own culture, its own set of rules, social rules, mm-hmm. ideas, values, judgments. It is a hierarchy of important people and unimportant people, right? Like people who are considered like whole and like human and autonomous with rights and liberties and like boundaries. And then there are people who that autonomy is not allowed, mm-hmm. right? And so for the most part, we see that stripping away of autonomy most often is applied to women, children, queer folk, people with disabilities. Anybody who is considered marginal or vulnerable is going to be way more likely to be sexually assaulted. And there's a reason for that, mm-hmm. because sexual assault is not about sex, it's about power and control. Mm-hmm. So a rape culture is going to disallow power and control from the victim, right? In order for an attacker to take power and control over another human. And we should never have our power and control stripped like of our own bodies, mm-hmm. you know? And so that is what rape culture is. And it's institutional, mm-hmm. right? We see it in our laws and legislations. We see it when women are not allowed to have control over our bodies or mm-hmm. reproductive health, like disallowed, right? That is a rape culture at work. If you take my autonomy and agency from me and my control over my body away from me, that is assaultive. Right. But people also uplift rape culture in our interpersonal interactions yes. when we, for example, victim blame. Mm-hmm. Right. That, well, my body was not in my control when I was assaulted, but I'm also somehow held responsible for the actions of the perpetrator. Right. Mm-hmm. Right? So yeah. you're not allowed to say what happens to you, but you're responsible for what happens to you. Your personhood is taken from you. And that, in its essence, is what rape culture is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, Mala, what you're saying about the survivor has to really take control of what they do. And I think that victim blaming, like you said, in the very interpersonal level, is how we can see it, for example, when people ask what they were wearing when they were raped uh-huh. or assaulted, right? Were they drinking? Did they know the person? You know, that whole type of, well, she was asking for it, they were asking for it, yeah. he was asking for it, you know? So I think that is, like, in the interpersonal level where we see it the most. Or right. at least we can identify, exactly that's what's happening right there.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do with being objectified, meaning being turned into an object,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right? And I hate when people say, like, oh, such and such woman is objectifying herself. Mm-hmm. You cannot thingify yourself. You cannot objectify one's own self. You can make choices about what you do with your body, mm-hmm. how your body works for you, if you make money with your body, if you make art with your body, if you want to have other physical interactions with other people consensually with your body. Mm-hmm. You cannot objectify yourself, but right. other people with more power or control can take your autonomy and your agency away and can make you into an object of their gaze, an object of their anger, their hatred, an object of their lust, whatever it is, right? You become subjected to their impositions onto your body, right?
In a way, I mean, yes, I think what you just mentioned, the way that I experience it pretty much every single day is through street harassment.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I do zero, and somehow I still experience this, this experience of feeling like an object and someone taking away my autonomy to just walk down the street.
Right. With a sense of safety and, or comfort, right?
Right. But and I'm happy we're talking about it because yeah, I think it's a mind shift and just to really think about stop asking the questions about, well, what was she wearing? Was she drinking? Was she alone? Where was her mom? All these things that it's asking those questions. That's the, like you said, like the rape culture at play.
Yeah.
And I think the more we can talk about it and identify it, I think the closer we can get to checking ourselves. Yeah. Like, no, why was he raping her? Why was he? And shifting the
conversation. Why did he do that?
Right. Or she, in certain situations.
Why did the harm doer do harm? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, is like, it's very interesting because women and feminine people, women and femmes, and even children do a lot of emotional labor.
Yes.
You know, kids are like often like they receive a lot of the very negative energy that their parents are carrying around. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people abuse their kids, right? Because they're taking out their anger on someone with less agency and power than them. It's very easy to abuse children or to abuse elders, right? Kids do a lot of emotional labor for their parents, for their caregivers, oddly enough, right? Women do a lot of emotional labor for men, even men that we're not involved with.
Yes.
So what ends up happening is men are very comfortable shifting weight, shifting blame, shifting responsibility, and shifting work onto women anyways. So it's easy for us as a society to say, yeah, we can find a way to blame her for something that an adult man actively and intentionally chose to do with his free will and his intelligence, you know?
So terrible.
And it's very common in our Latino communities, and we don't talk about it, but we have a lot of very deeply embedded rape culture in our communities.
And that's actually one of the things that I was going to ask. Yeah. Like, as I'm hearing you guys speak about this, I'm thinking of my Latino community and how easier it is to do this, right? So what could we do? Like, somebody who's out there listening to us who has a small child, what can they do to change this child's perspective or perception, right? What can we do?
I think teaching your children that they have agency and autonomy, I think, starts there. I mean, I know I've seen a lot of like articles written about it, or even just images on the internet about like, if your child doesn't want to hug or kiss a relative, don't make them.
Don't force them.
Don't force them, because they're, like Mala said, there is an energy that children will receive, right? So children already know that there's somebody in their family that maybe they're not comfortable with.
It makes
they're
them
not
feel
supposed
icky.
To look at me that way, or they're not supposed to touch me that way, but they don't have the agency or the voice. They're not given that agency to say anything, right? So they're forced to saludar, to dar a kiss on the cheek, because porque es un niño malcriado, right? They're a bad kid if they don't, right? So teaching kids that they have that agency and autonomy to say no, and giving them an option. Maybe they don't give a kiss or a hug. Maybe they wave. Maybe they shake hands. You know, it can be whatever they decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I think it's really important that, like, in our communities, we have to talk about sex. We have to.
Yes.
Children need to know the names, the proper anatomical names of their what's going on with their bodies.
Yes.
You know, they need to know their body parts and, like, be able to describe them and what they're used for and what they're not used for and who can touch you where and who can't touch you. You know, like, kids need to be empowered with those tools.
That
those are
language.
Tools. Language is a tool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to confront our colonial history.
Yes.
And much like Native Americans in the U.S. who were put into Indian boarding schools and very horribly sexually abused for several generations, we know that our countries were colonized by who? By the Catholic Church. We know that a lot of our family members or our ancestors went to Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. We know there is a history of sexual abuse in the colonial project, period, and in Catholic churches, in any churches, to be honest, unfortunately. And we do have a lot of child sex abuse in our communities.
Yeah.
We really do, and we do not speak on it.
And a lot of it is also intergenerational.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like one abuser that has harmed all these generation of children, right? And no, and everybody knows, or maybe it's like an unspoken thing, but or maybe nobody allowed. Knows.
He's still
right?
allowed in the
They're still
around
allowed
the family,
around.
Right?
The
yeah.
little girls are told, like, you know, don't. You're lying. You're mm-hmm. making it up. Be quiet. Like, yeah. we can be very harsh when it comes to like victims of mm-hmm. abuse in our family.
And protecting the men or the abuser in yeah. the family.
Yeah, so you must see this a lot.
In oh, my life. God. You do. The vast majority of my clients, and I, like I said, we serve all of L.A. City. We serve L.A. County. We serve the entire West San Gabriel Valley. The vast, vast, vast majority of my clients are Latinos and Latinas. You know, it just is. Not that other ethnic groups don't experience these issues. They all do. I can only speak for my particular community and the trends that I see and what I know to be true. And, you know, advocates from other ethnic and racial groups, they're doing that work of talking about sexual abuse against in their own communities, right? Mm-hmm. But, oh, my God, it's horrible.
Right.
And there is a lot of victim blaming, even when our victims are very young. There's a lot of victim blaming when the victims are old, you know. This is not to say that there are not supportive and understanding and loving and conscientious Latino families who do support their victims and their survivors and those family members and do everything they can to keep them safe. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the clients that I work with are those people who understand that what happened is wrong, that it should never have happened, that there's a reason behind it, and they want counseling and they want to be in support groups and they want to do better, you know? But they're still surrounded by the circumstances that I described, mm-hmm. right? That I'm sure we can all, like, look into our own families and see yeah. how talking about these topics mm-hmm. would be, we'd rather ignore it than to actually confront it or stop it.
Well, yeah. I think I've heard about this, and I don't. It might have been on your podcast about, you know, if the child doesn't want to hug his uncle or yeah. or whoever, like, don't make them. And
I think we talked about that with queer Chicano Cheeseman.
Yes, or with our Femme Defense, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but I think yeah. I must have heard it from you guys because ever since I heard that, I was like, I have a nephew who's 3 years old, and my mom, when she was raising us, she would always say, saluda de beso y abrazo, and that's what you do, or you're absolutely yeah. right, eres un malcriado, right? Mm-hmm. You have no manners or whatever. I'm thankful that nothing happened to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now having my nephew, I found myself checking my mom a couple of times, like, yeah. you cannot mm-hmm. force my nephew right. to give your friends hugs and kisses mm-hmm. because yeah. you just never know.
You just yeah. never
and I had
know.
To break it yeah. down to her, like, ahora sí que a la mala.
Yeah.
And I was like, porque sabes que, you're teaching him to that's okay.
Yeah.
And if somebody hugs my nephew in a wrong way, he's not going to think, oh, this is wrong.
Yeah.
This is what it's mm-hmm. supposed to be.
And yeah. the other thing is, this especially does happen to little girls in that we are basically like our intuition and our gut feeling is basically like, I don't want to say beaten out of us, but it's stomped, it's hushed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very much hushed and quieted. And we have to reclaim that. And when yeah. you're uncomfortable and teach children that icky feeling, listen to it. Tell me about it. Mm-hmm. Why? When does it happen? You know, like, how can we make it better? And we have to listen because children are people, are humans, you mm-hmm. know, they're small and they're developing, but I feel like adults often think of kids as like other beings,
right? Like they mm-hmm. they don't have a brain,
that they are not people
thinking.
With human rights yeah. civil rights.
That's so
right,
you know what
or
I mean
even just
yeah.
to think, oh, you'll get over it, yeah. you know, esta chiquita, you'll yeah. get no over
pasar.
It yeah, yeah
yeah yeah.
So I mean, I think it's there's the list of traumas and tragedies are long.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But what we can be hopeful for is that there's spaces like this, like what you've provided, and then you're having these conversations. You, Luis, are having that conversation with your mom, and
oh yeah,
and that's what we can be hopeful for, is that we're learning the language to uh-huh. identify it,
yeah.
to understand what rape culture is, and to take some action. But before we leave this topic, because it's a very important topic, what are some of the In the field, let's just talk really locally, like here in LA, what are some legal or other institutional parameters that could be changed that help permit this?
That's a long list.
You can pick like the one and
that's
urgent.
A long
what
list.
Is one issue that we should be more connected to?
Oh
more
my God. Well, there's so many. There are so many. I mean, we need the city and the state need to allocate a lot more money yeah. into safe, clean, well-staffed, shelters. There are not enough shelters in this city. There are not enough homeless shelters. People get assaulted in homeless shelters, right? There's not enough domestic violence shelters. They're very restrictive as far as who they accept, you know? So there's always a huge chunk of the population after an assault or after experiencing abuse who has nowhere to go. It's very hard to find safe spaces for men, for male survivors. And there are male survivors, you know? It's very hard to find safe spaces for homeless survivors of sexual assault who are probably, like, especially if they're if they're living with addiction or mental illness, homeless women are probably the most vulnerable population, and especially like homeless trans women. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to find shelters for sexual assault survivors who are without a home.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's important to not obviously it's not great that that's the case. I think it's great that we're creating awareness about that.
So, and more money, and survivors money, need cash money, cash money.
They
like
do.
It's really easy to get caught up in like the nonprofit industrial complex and I'm going to donate to a nonprofit organization, or the government is allocating millions of dollars to a nonprofit. But what ends up happening is like people are getting paid, like myself, to work with survivors, but at the end of the day, the free counseling and the support and the advocacy, like, is very low on the bar when it comes to a survivor's needs. Mm-hmm. People need money. Mm-hmm. People need money.
Yeah, to get out of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I recommend if you want to help or donate or give back in some way, if you know somebody who's going through it, give your money directly to a survivor, directly to that person. I'm not saying don't donate to nonprofits or don't donate to like centers, because we need the help, we do. But if you want to make if you are looking for a different way to make an impact, actual financial support, it means everything.
No, that's good. That's a great takeaway for people to take some action, and I'm sure they're going to be moved to do it. And very lightly, I would also raise that it's concerning. Obviously, we're in the Trump's America.
Oh,
and
my God.
another layer to this is this, people are in fear of coming forward because of their immigration status.
Right.
So we've added another layer to this very complex issue. And so just another reminder to everybody out there, how important it is to be involved in your community, to donate directly, and to change Congress in 2018. There's just so many things at stake. But thank you for allowing us to learn a little bit more about this topic.
Thanks for having us.
And I mean, very important topic, and I think one of the ways that we're able to hook people and talk about these important things is because we have an approachable and fun approach to the way that we talk about these things. So I know it's a difficult transition to make, but we will always wrap up our interviews with the same three questions. I know it'll get light and funny.
Let's do it.
Serious things, and then gotta also stay positive where we can.
Oh yeah, that is the core of like actual healing,
joy,
and work, like movement work. Like, you have to have joy. You have to have fun, and that's why we do the podcast at all.
Yes,
this is our outlet.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, I work at a nonprofit as well as a community organizer, and that shit is draining.
Yeah.
And we both needed a project.
How you two do it. Like, speaking about these serious topics is crazy.
Yeah. Well, we think about, I think we think about the women and the femmes that have reached out to us and say, like, yes, like, you verbalize what I was feeling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's really important.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah. I love that. Yes. Well, why don't we start with you, Dios FM? Okay. The first question, which is very easy, which is, what is your favorite go-to snack?
Okay, I want to say pepino con limon.
Bomb.
Delicious.
But I also want to say hot Cheetos.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Why not both?
I guess if you're feeling healthy.
You could
healthy,
do both.
Why not?
Because they do. There's like Tostilocos, you know.
With hot Cheetos.
Totally.
And
that?
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, you could totally do both.
Right?
Yeah, that's great. Okay. How about you?
My favorite snack. I am a bougie bitch. And I really love, give me some really nice cheese, crackers, some jamon, give me some nice olives, some olive oil.
A nice charcuterie plate.
Yes. Mm. That will get me going.
Yes.
That will get me going.
Damn.
I'm
going
to change my answer to that.
I'm just gonna say, I'm a bougie bitch.
I'm a bougie bitch. It's true.
Our next question. If you had a telenovela, what would the name of your telenovela be? And or if you were the main character on the telenovela, what would that name?
So, well, my novela name would be Diosa, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And the name of my novela would have to be La Diosa Más Fina.
Oh my gosh. And yes. She eats, obviously she eats fancy cheeses.
Also that gasp.
Oh my God.
That gasp. I need that on loop.
I wasn't even expecting that.
I know. I know.
Lord in heaven. Yeah. Oh God. How do I even? Well, I would obviously have to be Mala also on my novela. And I really like one of my, I have a few old like Instagram handles and like Twitter handles that I used to use, but that I've switched out and I would change them a lot. And I liked one that was my original, the first one I ever had, Sazón Completa.
That's how I met you, ooh, by the way.
Yeah.
Sazón Completa?
Sazón Completa. So I don't know, maybe something incorporating Sazón Completa where I'm like, kind of like a chef, but also like an assassin. Like,
oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
This is so cool. I'm so
that's
watching
great. Yeah, like I know. I'm a like binge that. Watch.
And lastly, if you had a chancla, a virtual chancla that you could throw at person, place, thing,
oh,
concept,
Lord.
Who gets your chancla?
Trump.
Trump.
Trump. Unanimous chanclazo. Yeah.
I want the biggest like chancleta in the world so that I can get all the Latinos who voted for Trump and give them a mega chanclazo, like a group one. I was talking about this the other day and like really I was thinking about it, like if I could smite them, like how would I do it? Like, you know, the people of color who voted for Trump, because really it just grinds my effing gears. Like I can't, I cannot. So I was thinking in my head, like, okay, like if I were to be like that bitch and I would smite them, what would I do? And I would really wish upon them that their taste buds just shrivel up.
Ooh, that
and
is
die.
Cruel.
And I wish that on their whole lineage.
No pepinos
I do.
For them.
No.
No, that's
no pepinos so for them. That's why, but that would be an episode of Sazón Completa.
Yes.
The taste buds.
Yes.
That's I love
power.
That.
Like, take it away.
I know.
That's awesome.
Damn, I've never thought about that.
Yeah. As a chef.
As a chef. And an assassin.
And an assassin.
So good.
I'm just starting to think in my head right now, like, the things
plot
that I would
itself.
Miss.
Yeah.
Like, no, the things that I would miss.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Like, how do you even go on?
Mala.
She is mala.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, so where can people find the amazing work that you all do?
Find us on SoundCloud. You can listen to us on SoundCloud.
Locatora Radio. You'll find it.
Yeah.
We're right there.
We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Just if
Locatora
Radio. Locatora Radio. Mm-hmm. You'll find us. Follow us. Listen. Engage with us. Send us love. Post
Besitos.
Selfies.
Yes.
Oh, should we announce our plant selfies?
Yes, you should. You have
yes.
to.
Okay, so like we did on our last episode, we were talking about like, oh, you know, I did like my Dollar Tree DIY project, my Pinterest Buddha project. Like, that's what I called it.
I love that.
Because that's what it is. And it was
plants. I'm going to look at that sheet and I'm just going to think Buddha.
Yes.
Pinterest oh my Buddha. God. Yes.
That is awesome.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So, you guys need to come up with a t-shirt. With the P,
yes. That's actually really smart.
Oh my God, that's
oh my
smart.
God.
Are you heard it here.
Are you going to help us with that?
I will help you.
Yes.
I will help you with that.
Heard it here.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
You heard it here first.
Yes.
You heard it here first. So it was all about like bringing plants into my space, and it became Dollar Tree DIY, Pinterest Buddha, everything. And so I made like these magnetic little hanging gardens for the side of my fridge.
Ooh, that's
They're
so cool.
cute. So we're asking people to post your plant selfies with your plant babies because a plant selfie a day keeps the cochinos away.
Oh my God.
Do it for your health.
Freaking t-shirt.
Do it for your health. Do it for your health and longevity.
Yes. I love it. Very cool. Well, we look forward to all of that. Thank you again for coming by Tamarindo the podcast. Best of luck to everything that you do.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm sure you'll come back. We'll have to
yes.
again.
Yes, yes, please. This was so fun.
Was.
Thank you.
Besitos.
The podcast is produced by Jeff DeVoe, Brenda Gonzalez, and Luis Octavio. Our intern is Lauren Gaitan. Sound engineering and original music by Jeff DeVoe, a.k.a. Producer Jeff.
Don't forget to rate and review Tamarindo on Apple Podcasts and to use the hashtag #SupportBrownPodcast to find other Latino-produced casts like Nos Vemos en el Swat Meet and Latino Rebels. Rate and review, please.
You can always get a hold of us at tamarindopodcast@gmail.com, or you can visit our website, tamarindopodcast.com, to catch all of our previous episodes and learn more about us. Don't forget to rate and review, as Luis just shared, because that's how other people find us. Until the next episode, don't forget, ponte un suéter.
Y nos vemos en el swap meet.
Cuando mi arrendador dijo que el alquiler podría ser más barato si fuéramos amigos con beneficios. Había oído hablar de acoso sexual en el lugar de trabajo, pero en mi casa, eso es discriminación en la vivienda basada en el sexo.
La gente de Bienes Raíces dijo que estaríamos más cómodos viviendo en un vecindario diferente con gente como nosotros. Por suerte, conocíamos nuestros derechos. Es ilegal asustar a los posibles propietarios para que se alejen de ciertos vecindarios en función de raza o nacionalidad.
Si usted cree que sufrió discriminación o tiene preguntas sobre sus derechos, comuníquese con Fair Housing Foundation, Fundación de Vivienda Justa, al 800-446-3247 o también en línea en fhfca.org. La vivienda justa es su derecho. Este es un anuncio de servicio público de Fair Housing Foundation y respaldado por el Departamento de Vivienda y Desarrollo Urbano, HUD, bajo la subvención de FIPPI, FPEI 220099.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.